Kate,
Emily,
we did it.
What did we do?
We had some mystery guests at the festival.
Talking about today, this week, last year, this panel?
I know normally we start a little more current about what's happening in our lives at this exact moment, which we can also talk about. I'm just very excited that we had a mystery. We had two mystery guests.
Yes, we did have two mystery guests. What I'm excited about is, do you remember how this came to be? Like, not who the mystery guest was, but the concept of a mystery panel.
Well, duh, because I want to have a whole mystery festival.
Yes, this is very good. Wow. For those that don't know, Emily once pitched an idea of an entire mystery festival, which is, hey, it's a television festival, buy a ticket. Who knows what you'll see? Just show up. And it evolved at various points. We can't decide. I mean, feel free to tell us via social media or email if that would be something you would trust us enough to buy a ticket to. Because usually it comes down to who buys the ticket to the thing they don't know what it is. I don't know.
I know. I feel like, unfortunately, and in order to do that, we're going to have, which this set the stage for, the beginning, we're going to have a couple of really strong mystery pieces of programming.
Yeah.
To like prove to people, hey, these are going to be really exciting people or really exciting series that we're showcasing in order for them to buy in. So I think we just like have to build it up a little each year.
Yep.
And then we just wow everyone with the whole mystery festival.
Well, it was also good because it was harder than I thought to get someone to agree to be a mystery guest. I think there's probably their own thing that we went through of like, does anyone come? Do you get revealed and they leave?
Like, which they do talk about.
Like inner turmoil, I think, about whether or not people wanted to be a mystery guest, and was really excited because Betsy Brandt came for a different show, like a more broad conversation about a series. And Accused was the series.
And I was like, a mystery. You can't tell people what it was.
Accused was the series, but it was like, you know, about that show, not about her life. And we have never had her at the festival before. And we were big fans from Breaking Bad to Life in Pieces. Obviously, Breaking Bad, classic series. Y'all, if you haven't watched Life in Pieces, it is delightful. And I would like a Life in Pieces reunion. And she does a Diane Wiest impression. It's really good. Anyway, she was Joy in a white suit.
She was phenomenal.
Yeah.
There's people that come to the festival and they're just people, I don't want this to sound bad, like that I just don't really have a strong opinion on. Mm-hmm. Like I like Betsy Brandt. I like what she does. I didn't have a...
just kind of more neutral fandom.
Yes, exactly.
Respect. I like you, but like no additional feelings.
Yeah. Don't know anything about her personal life. Just know that she's a delight on screen, but just have no other knowledge about her. And she was one of the warmest energies.
Hugs. She came also positive. Knowing where she was, which is always my favorite.
Always the favorite. Yep. Knowing she was on a mystery panel. Mm-hmm. Also being excited. The room was full, but then realizing
they aren't showing up for me because they don't know it's me. So maybe I shouldn't feel that.
Yes. But then also just like rolling with it and having the best time and having a great conversation. I just very much appreciate her. Also can relate. She talks about how her parents still don't really understand what she does.
Sure.
And how they worry about her. And she's like, I'm fine. Financially, I'm stable. I'm good. I'm and then they're just like, you know, have their concerns. I'm like, yeah, I understand that. Our parents still don't know what we do. And they come to the festival.
They do. Your dad's still real excited you have health insurance.
I know. You're welcome, Dad.
Well, I honestly feel like we should just let people have the ray of sunshine that is this panel. If you just, you're having a day and you just want a delightful conversation, you found it. This is what it is.
But we can't not say, just because now we're only a few weeks out for the festival, that badges are on sale.
Yep.
Go to our website, atxfestival.com.
That's the one.
We are starting to release the schedule very soon. And
maybe some things already say what days they're
maybe
on.
Maybe you should go check it out. Lots of great programming that we're so excited about.
Lots of ways to attend.
Yes. So much information. Please go to the website, check it out, and
we'll see you there.
There you go. More mystery guests.
Yep.
This panel is also moderated by Reshma Gopaldas from She Knows. Enjoy.
Just getting arranged here. Get comfortable.
Oh my God, you guys are so sweet.
Is this on?
I was like, oh, the room's at capacity. I'm so touched. And then I went, they don't know it's for me. Oh my God.
I said to Betsy, I was like, they have me listed as moderator. They're here for me, but you can join.
And then you were like, well, I hope people don't leave. I said, now why would you say that to me before we go out there?
I didn't say that.
Why would you say that to me before we got...
This is not true. Let me tell you, I got this lovely email, and they said, Reshma, we have a mystery guest for the first time, and we want you to talk to them. And then for two paragraphs, they don't tell me who it is. And I was like, am I interviewing a ghost? And I'm so glad it's Betsy, because...
When did you find out?
I'm not telling you that.
Oh, there are so many mysteries.
It's a mystery. Well, that was the initial email, and I'm so glad it's the lovely Betsy Brandt. Let's give her a round of applause.
I'm so happy to be here.
So I want to go back. You know, everyone knows what you're known for on television. You know, obviously, oh, the show. A few drugs here and there. Breaking Bad, we had someone with a T-shirt at the door already. They know. They know when you're in town. Yeah. So nothing's a mystery to them. So I want to go back to the beginning of your career a bit. Tell us, like, what inspired you to get into this business? Was it a movie, a show, or an actor or actress that you said, that's what I want to do?
I think it was just, this sounds a little cheesy, but it's true. I always like telling stories. My mother maybe would call it lying, or when I was younger, but I would, in my neighborhood, I'd write plays and cast my neighbors in them. And then I remember my Aunt Josephine, my great aunt, who was such a huge influence in my life. I remember watching a movie with her, and these kids that were my age, their parents left them at a gas station. And I was so... I felt what they were feeling. And she said, you sit down and you cry right along with them. Oh my God, this is so... And I think it was like, that was such a pivotal moment for me to... It's such a privilege. There are so many things in life that are a privilege. Telling someone else's story is one of them, for sure. And I love it. I like connecting with the things I share with the character, the things I don't share with the character. I mean, and I firmly believe, even if you play a serial killer, and I have, you have to love them.
She just gave me a look. Yeah. Shudder.
Mystery.
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 I was just hoping it wasn't method.
No, I'm not that person, no. But I think it's just the telling of stories.
That's a terrific answer. And I just love how you, from such a young age, empathized with people and wanted to tell their stories. So, you know, one thing that is a mystery is this industry, how everyone gets to where they are. There's no formula for, you know, you don't like banking. You go to school, you go to business school, and boom, you're a banker. And then if 10 years, you regret it. But here, I'm wondering, like, what was your path? Tell us that. Like, what was the education? You know, once you decided, I want to be a storyteller, I know where you went to school and everything, but tell us those different experiences.
I mean, I never in a million years dreamed I would work in television. I didn't grow up in a world where people did that. That was, like, so foreign to me. Do my parents, like, would they prefer I was a high school drama teacher? Maybe. Like, still, maybe. I think they'd be like, well, that, we know what that is. This, like, they still are like, what?
Do they know the pay equity scale for that profession?
Honestly, they don't. Yeah. There are times, I think, where they're like, you don't need to worry about me. I think they've worried. But they encouraged us, you know, my siblings and I, like, to be creative and do it. And so I definitely had that. But I think then when I was like, well, I want to do that for a living, I think they were like, oh, shit. I think that was a little bit of an oh shit moment for my parents, but they were absolutely supportive. And so when I have a daughter who's going to college in the fall, and I said, you don't need to know what you're going to study. Like, you'll figure that out. Like, you don't need to. Most people, if they know what they're going to study, they're going to change that anyway. I knew what I wanted to do, but then you show up and you're like, okay, do I really love this? Yeah. As much as I think
that
I
is
do.
Excellent advice.
And that, and I did, like, I, you know, I did a BFA program at U of I, and which I also, oh my
it's
God.
Okay. It's okay. It's, don't feel bad. I know. It happens to all of us. Happened to me last week in a meeting.
They're listening. It's okay. I knew they would find me. I got into, like, my dream college, and they gave me a scholarship, and it still wasn't, it was a very expensive school. But I was like, I'm never going to have any sort of success now. Like, I really, like, my 18-year-old self was like, now what am I going to do if I don't go to that college? And I went to Illinois. I did everything you're not supposed to do. I didn't go to, I didn't go to school. I went to school in a cornfield, but I got a really great education, and it was wonderful for me. Wouldn't change anything about it. And then after that, I moved to Seattle because that's where all big careers are made. And I really just wanted to do plays. And I thought that's what I would do. And I went to Seattle, and I was busy. I was like the person my age who got those roles that you could cobble together a modest living at. And I felt, you know, really successful then. Like, I felt just as successful then as I do now. But to be able to work was really my goal, always my goal. And then I think I just had a moment where I there was a director doing an indie film who saw me in Seattle in a play and said, will you come audition for my movie? And I was like, sure. And so I did. And then she's like, will you come do my movie? And I was like, okay.
The fact that there was a director in Seattle.
It was indie film. And she, that got me to LA, and I didn't hate it. I was like, oh, well, this is okay. But I liked the people I was working with. And then I went back to Seattle, and I kept doing one more play. And then I left and moved to LA. And when I first moved out there, I was like, well, this is night and day. But I really, like, even when I got to LA, I'm like, I love what I do. I just want to work. Yeah. Like, I really just want to work. So it was never about, like, you know, being a star, even being on TV. Once I started working in television, one of my favorite parts about doing a play is rehearsal. Like, I love it. I love it. I love being around the table. I love being in there and working and figuring out a scene. And so with TV, I felt like I got to enjoy a lot of that. Like, every take, then you have to hope they use the one you want them to. You have more control when you're out there on stage. I still, to this day, and I feel like I've earned this in my career, I'll have a director say, could you do another one, but like this? And I say, yes, I could, but I'm not going to, because I'm afraid you might use it, and that's not what I want for her there. And so when I moved into TV, I was elated about it. It just suits me. It suits me.
So you did. You went to school in Boston. You also did some time in Scotland, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay, so both of those were very short stints. So the program I did with the Moscow Art School at Harvard, I've dropped out of a few very prestigious graduate programs. That's one of them. And then I went to UCLA for a week. I didn't even meet all my teachers. And then I got this movie with Blythe Danner, and I was like, I'm going to go do that. And the head of the department was like, well, now you have to do this. I said, I'm confused, because isn't that what I'm supposed to, I'm getting ready to go do this job, but I've already had this job, so I'm going to go do that. So
is that one of your first films?
That was Back When We Were Grown-Ups, okay, with Faye Dunaway.
Wow.
Blythe Danner, Jack Palance. I think it was Jack Palance's last movie.
Wow. I Peter see why Fonda, you dropped out.
Peter Fonda. And okay. I was one of the kids in that movie. And the people that were my siblings, I'm still tight with. Like some shows you make a family, and we did, yeah. And I'm still tight with them.
Especially your earlier first experiences. Yeah. Yeah. So how did you get to Scotland then?
Oh, I wanted to get out of my department for a little while, and I saw people in other departments studying abroad, and my department politely said, that is not an option here. We have a very specific, every semester is planned out for you. You don't get a say in what, you know, the acting program. It was very specific, which is one of the reasons I chose it. And then I got there and was like, well, let's mix it up a little. So the head of our department, whose wife was one of my professors, and I adored her, she was Scottish. And I felt like if I chose Scotland, I could speak the language. And she would cajole him into letting me do that. And that is absolutely what happened. Absolutely what happened.
You were charmingly calculating. I love it.
And then they offered it to other people. Like after that, because I was like, listen, I'm not a singer. I'm not a great singer. I'm not going to, the semester where we do musical theater, let me go to Scotland. I'll study, you know, Brecht over there and all whatever they're doing. And then come back and finish up my last year and graduate. And that's totally what I did. When I got over there, I loved it. And I'm like, maybe I just want to stay here. So I thought about that for a while. My parents would have really had an oh shit moment. But I did come back and graduate. But I loved it. I loved it.
So out of everything you've done, like, where's your passion right now? Is it theater? Is it film? Is it television?
Oh, that is a mean question. I you know, even within, like, the TV or film work I'm doing, whatever I've just done, let's do something different. Like the next job, if I'm doing, you know, like after Breaking Bad, some of the best advice I got from my agents, they were like, I think now you do a comedy. And I'd never even guest starred on a TV comedy. I'd never, nothing. I really wanted that job with Michael J. Fox because yeah. I grew up watching him and I was in LA because we were still shooting in New Mexico and I was in LA for the Golden Globes. And so this is just I think a funny and charming story, and Mike Fox is in the news. So, you know, he's like everywhere yeah. right now because of his documentary, which is fantastic. They had me meet with him and I was like, oh my God, like this was huge for me. I'm from Bay City, Michigan. Like people don't meet with Michael J. Fox and I grew up watching him. So this was super exciting.
So was this
exciting.
Like post-Family Ties?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back to the Future or post-Back to the Future?
Oh no. This is like when I was finishing Breaking Bad. This is post like everything before he's doing the Michael J. Fox show. And I went and I read with him and it went really well and that felt great. And I showed up with just like clothes for the Golden Globes. So I had like a pair of cowboy boots and I had like 3-inch heels to wear. Well, Mike Fox is not my height. And so I was like, oh my God. So I went into that first meeting and we sat down, we read again. And then the producers, they said, why don't you guys stand up and read together? And I just sat there for a second. And I seriously considered, and I told Mike this, I said, that big long pause was me wondering if I should just call it. If I should just go over and shake your hand and say, it was such a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much. Good luck with the show. I can't wait to watch it. And he's like, where does it get me if I only work with people that are my height or shorter? And I was like, that's one of the many reasons everyone loves you.
Yeah, most of his like love interest, I feel like, in television involved.
Yeah, and his wife.
Than him.
And his wife in life.
Tracy like, is, yes, that's right.
He's very confident.
So do you remember which television job where you got your first speaking line?
Oh, yeah.
Which one was that?
Judging Amy.
And what was your line?
Oh, I had a, they called me in for, a co-starring role, which is, I think, such a misnomer. That sounds yeah. like you're right up there, but it's really like guest star would be, if you're not a series regular, okay. you'd want to be a guest star. And they called me in for a co-starring role, and then I went in, and then they were like, it was Joe Stern, the producer of that show, said, bring her back for the big guest star. And I had done no TV, not a thing, nothing. And I was like, okay. And I was about to go do this play in San Jose Rep. And so I went in, did my callback before I like left, you know, drove out of town the next day. And I saw people I recognized at that audition. And I was like, all right, well, that's great that they saw me. This is so not happening. And then I got it. And then I had to convince the director to let me come back and shoot it. But I was so nervous. I didn't tell anybody, even Amy Brenneman. I didn't tell her that I'd never been on TV until after, you know, that show. You're like, it's courtroom, a lot of courtroom stuff. So you sit in the court, you know, and you're sitting there.
Why do you look like you're riding a horse?
And then they bring the horses in. See, nobody knows. That's how they do it. That's the mystery. And the camera pushes in, and then the music will start, you know, when the show's up. And so I waited until I had finished that scene, and they got it, and everybody was happy. And then I was like, you guys, this is so thrilling. I have never done this at all, ever. And I was like, oh, my God.
She's like, I don't belong here.
No, I knew I did. Yeah. I knew. I was like, this was great. And then when I saw it, I was really happy with it. And Amy's a theater kid, too. Yeah. So, like, it was really awesome to, you know, work with this group of people. But it was fun, super fun.
So do you remember what you spent, like, what you splurged on for one of your first acting paychecks? Did you treat yourself to anything? Or were you practical?
I used a dining room table. That my husband and I were like, we really need a table to eat at. And yeah. So we got that.
Yeah.
With some guest star money. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Should we get into Breaking Bad? Who here has watched Breaking Bad? Okay. That's good.
Such good
That's
taste.
Good for our, what I'm going to start with. So we're going to call it Breaking Marie. We're going to take a little memory lane walk here.
I dare you to break her.
Seriously, now I'm scared. Second time. All right. So I pulled from the internet, a very reliable source, Marie's best lines. And I want you guys to tell me you can get audience help if you need it. If Marie said it or someone else, or okay. It's a lie, which it might be. Okay, you ready? Pain is just what weak people feel. Did Marie say it?
Yes, and then Hank said, pain is my foot in your ass.
Okay, you're so close. You're right about Hank. Your line was actually, pain is weakness leaving your body.
Leaving your body.
I tricked you.
Yeah, you did. That was a little bit of a trickery. Yeah,
I know, it was. Trickery. I wanted to start. I thought the audience would help you out and be like, no.
Well, it's so close.
I know, it was tricky. Okay, let's get easier, right, shall we?
So this is going to be hard,
okay,
guys.
This one.
She's not going down easy.
No. Good, I'm staying. I'll heat up lasagna. Do you want to ask the audience?
Sure. Yes. I mean,
yes.
Unless you're doing that again.
No, I'm not.
Similar.
I just did it once.
Yes.
So before this, she asked me, she's like, what do I win? What do you want to win?
What do I win?
What
like,
do you want to win? A new used dining table.
That line I said when Aaron Paul was, right?
Yep,
staying
yep.
in our house, which was, I'm like, he and I kept saying, I'm like, it's so weird to have you on our set.
Yeah.
Because we never had scenes together.
You didn't interact that much. Okay. This might be a little like the first one, but I think you'll catch me in it. Is Mr. I Like Big Butts still there?
Oh. Yeah, it's something else, but it's Ted.
You did it. Is it's Mr. Grabby Hands still
Grabby
there?
Grabby Hands,
so you
that's
got a
right.
point there.
Yeah, okay.
You have 2 points, actually. You got the one before, too. Yeah. Okay. Did Marie say this? Chemotherapy and marijuana go together like apple pie and Chevrolet.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
yes.
2 points.
That's pilot,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you want to win?
Oh, God.
What should we have her win? And if she loses,
I mean, listen,
what should
I would
we
do it for a burrito. I would do it for a burrito, honestly.
Okay. I hope you don't die, Walt. Did Marie say that?
No, I said, I hope you die.
Yeah, you said, go ahead and die then. Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, you guys, that was one of the last... Oh, my God, that was the last season. That scene gave me chest pains. Like, shooting that, I was like, it was... Because Brian's so wonderful, and like you to look him in the eye and tell him over and over again that he should just go kill himself was
oh gosh.
I was like ready for a comedy, and the next day I got on a plane and went to New York to work on Michael J. Fox show.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Only two more. Don't worry, it's almost over. Sitting around smoking marijuana, eating Cheetos, and masturbating do not constitute plans. Oh, sorry, someone. I said the M word.
It sounds like something she would say, but I don't remember. I don't recollect saying
that. Was it another character who said it? Yes. You get a burrito.
Who did you say?
Who's Walt?
Oh,
Walt. Who said Walt? I thought.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. You don't get that one.
I don't get it. Okay.
All right. Last one. Ready?
Yeah.
He says he's mostly riding a desk, which between you and me is just the way I want it.
Yeah, I did say that. Yeah.
Who'd you say it about?
Hank.
Hank. You get a burrito. Congratulations.
I'll take it.
All right. We have other fun Breaking Bad stuff, but Okay. Let's go back to the beginning of that experience. What was that audition process like? Who'd you audition with?
Vince. Okay. But I met Dean Norris in the waiting room for the audition out at Sony. And I recognized him, but I didn't know from what. And we were just talking, like he and I are both Midwestern chatty people. Mm-hmm. And I swear to God, we had chemistry in the waiting room. And
what did you do in that waiting room?
We were talking and I said, listen, this is a comedy, right? Like don't you think? And he goes, oh yeah. He's like, oh yeah, yeah. And I said, okay, good. Because I'm going in there and reading this is like funny. And he's like, oh, me too. And he says, he's like, I wasn't sure, but he told me he was. And then I was like, oh, yeah. Like we both. And he said, I went in and he said, I read it funnier because of you. And I said, I read it funnier because of you. And then I felt like that's kind of who they just ended up being.
Yeah. Did they bring you both in the room that day together or no?
Okay.
That's interesting.
No.
But
we never read together. They cast him and then they cast me.
Do you remember your very first line in Breaking Bad?
No. God, it surprises me that I don't.
Do you want to know? Does anyone here remember?
Oh, I thought you meant the one we shot. Oh, you mean
in
the show?
No, in the first episode you did.
Oh, is it about the birthday? No. What is it?
It's about Skylar.
Oh, I'm so mean to her. So mean.
I feel like you were being
snarky.
Nice-ish.
Was I?
No, I don't think so.
What was it? I'll tell you.
She's showing a little.
Oh, yeah. She's showing a little bit. She's pregnant. Yeah. That's not nice.
I was trying to give her the Benner.
No. Vince Gilligan just kept telling me when I was reading for Marie, he's like, she needles her sister. She needles her. And I was like, I'm the youngest of four. I know how to do that. Like I
was born for this role.
I was like, I'm going to shine in this. And she, you know, listen, it would be a lie to tell you, like, there aren't parts of people in my family that are Marie, for sure. Good and bad, you know.
Do you remember your last line in the show?
Well, now you're going to make me cry.
Oh.
What is it?
Well, I don't want to make you cry.
Okay. No spoilers.
Okay. No spoilers.
Sorry.
what is it? You got it. It was just you got it.
Oh, to Skylar.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they talk. I really do.
Yeah.
That was heartbreaking for me.
Yeah.
The scene where I find out that she and Walt were at all involved with anything having to do with Hank being shot. And then I slap her. And that night, I so remember shooting that night. And I was like, it's done. Like that relationship, which was always, I thought, very sweet. And I was like, done now. Like, that just broke my heart. It broke my heart.
Actually, I'm not crying. I just... I'm trying to get connected. So, you know, every single job you have, like you said, you make these friendships. Yeah. So I'm going to name a few of your Breaking Bad co-stars, and you tell me the best thing that you learned from working with them, or a best story.
This will be easy.
And
easy.
And, you know, maybe something that you taught them.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Anna Gunn.
Oh, my God. All right. I knew Anna a little bit before. God, Anna is such a, like, that's who you want to be in the ring with. Like she is about, what do we, like, let's make this scene the best scene that we can. And I just, like, and you know, we both had kids, we were moving back and forth, but I and so sometimes that could be distracting. And our kids went to school together in LA. They went to school together in New Mexico. And we were like, so there are just some logistics in that as parents. And like, so the beginning of the season, I remember like just being, you know, when I was pregnant one season, you know, like, my God, I could not have done that without her. Had the baby on that show without her. But Anna always would just like, we would just lock right in. And it was, I'm like, okay, great. Now we're doing this. And it just, I was always so, so thankful for that.
What's one thing she taught you, and maybe one thing she learned from you?
I think she would be okay with me saying this. I think I have a little more fun on set than Anna does. And so I think sometimes she's like, maybe I need to, you know, loosen up a little. I think she, and she did. I think, you know, she got some of that from me.
Yeah. And the opposite? Were you like, maybe I should?
Like I was saying, like, we'd be so caught up in like what's happening with, you know, like moving our kids at the beginning of the season, and the way she was able to lock in. Like, I definitely took that with me.
Let's move on to Dean. I mean, you told that great story.
I love
but
him
is there
so
another
much.
Story you can tell, like, just to show, like,
oh my
how
God,
that
I got Dean
chemistry carried on
for days in the talking pillow scene, which is one of my favorite scenes. I had only been in LA for like 6 years, I think, when I got that job. So I'd done guest stars, but I'd never been a series regular. I'd recurred, but never been a series regular. And so it felt intimidating to me. And we were doing this scene, and it was like such a watershed moment, I think, because you see what this, like, who these people are going to be to each other. And the director was just like, okay, we're behind, trying to move. And I was like, oh, I want to do this and that. And Dean goes, ask for another one. And I don't think I would have had he not said that to me. And I did, and that's the one I used, my coverage. And then I did everything I wanted to, but he was like, dude, ask for another one. That's what you do. And that was like so sweet. I also, he and I like kind of developed our stuff in that moment, in that, like, not where he's telling me to ask for another one, but when, you know, I take the pillow and I say, I think that we should let Walt do whatever he wants. And he's like, I agree with her. Can I have the pillow back? And I was like, thank you, honey. And he's like, no problem. Like, we had, and I felt like in that moment you establish they're always on each other's side. And I love that. And they carried that throughout the series. No matter what she does, he's there for her. And no matter how, you know, cranky he is with her, she's there for him. And I felt like in a show that was so great, but so there's a lot happening in it. I was really grateful to be part of that love story, which I thought was really, really beautiful. And I adore Dean. I adore him.
I was going to ask how, like, what you taught each other, but that story tells us like all we need to know. So
yeah,
you balanced
each
other
so really
well.
I love him. Love him.
How about Brian?
Brian and I used to sing show tunes on the heaviest days. We would sing Les Mis. We would sing all sorts of show tunes. Brian has a beautiful voice. He's also a freakishly good bowler.
Fun fact.
And baseball player. He's just like kind of good at everything, and you want to hate him, but you can't because he's just the nicest man.
So you just broke out into show tunes.
Yeah, we would do a lot of singing, and we, you know, like he was so great. I remember Vince coming up to me after a scene that Brian and I had, and he was like, you know, this is my terrible imitation of Vince Gilligan. I saw the dailies, and I thought that was really good. And I said, oh, thanks. Thanks, Vince. I said, because, you know, I thought Brian showed up that day. You know how some days he's like, not really there, and some days he's, but you never know what you're going to get, which is like, Vince and I laughed about it because Brian was so... What I learned from him is how you handle rehearsal. I learned a lot of things from Brian, but how you handle rehearsal. When we would show up for rehearsal, which, you know, we just do right before we shoot the scene, Brian would be amazing. Set the tone for what that scene was going to be if he was driving the scene. And Walt usually was. And watching him, I was like, oh, my God. I remember having breakfast with him. That was a writer's strike, so we went home early that season. And Dean and his wife and Brian and my husband and I and our kids, we went and had breakfast before we all flew back to L.A. And I remember we'd shot the entire first season. Well, not the entire first season, but what we were going to shoot. And I said, this is your time. Like, you're ready. Like, the role is there for you. This is like Lear for TV. And like, if this would have come to you 10 years ago, I'm sure he would have been great. But it was that moment where he was as an actor, as a person, and that role came to him at that time.
What would he say that you taught him?
He used to, this is so sweet. He used to call me the light of our show.
I agree with that.
And I wear that proudly. But I, you know, Dean, I remember at that breakfast, Dean was like, thanks for the season's work. Because Dean's like, you're so good in this. How could this not be? And we all loved each other so much. Like, we were just like, please, please, please pick it up, AMC.
Is there any video of the show tunes? Of the two of you.
I don't think
Will
so.
Will you release it?
I don't think so, but he does have a really beautiful voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll never know. Okay, so before we go on, answering as yourself.
Sure.
I'm going to give you some three characters. You get to invite one over for dinner. You get to marry one. And then you get to murder one. I know you're not a murderer. Pretend you're playing a role. Okay. Skylar, Walter, Hank. Okay, should we make it easier?
Oh, yeah.
I knew she would have a problem with the murder. I thought of, you get to make meth with one of them? I don't know.
Well, you make meth with the one who's good at making meth.
Yeah, well, like, then we know.
Yeah.
So I think murder's more fun.
Yeah, I
prison?
Can't.
Prison. I mean, prison's not
it's
fun.
It's almost I'm worse not. Than the murder. You know, I can go there.
Okay, really?
It would be, yes, because after knowing what I learned about, but weird, why? But I felt more betrayed by Skylar because she was my sister.
Yeah.
Than I did, like, I mean, I hate Walt just as much at the end of that.
Yeah.
But love him too. Okay, what are my options?
Skylar, Walter, Hank.
And I marry one of them?
You have to marry one? You invite one over for
dinner? I'm going to marry Hank.
Okay.
For sure, that works if it ain't broke.
Skylar.
I guess. And what's the other option? Marry, murder?
Dinner. Dinner, so, you know, I put it in there for you.
I'd have dinner with Skylar.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to kill Skylar.
No. I'd have dinner with Skylar. I guess I'd have to be the person to kill Walt, even though I really don't want to, which I'm not proud of.
Yeah.
I'm not like.
It's interesting. You love him. You, as a character, it seems like it.
There was a point, you know, when he does, like, he just reaches the basement of just horrible things you could do. And I'm like, God, I'm still rooting for him.
That's interesting because I'm going to go on what we're talking
which
about
is,
next.
I know, like, and I was like, I know I should hate you, but I still want Walt to win. It's like, you go back to the scene in episode one, the car wash scene. And you're like, I want this guy to have his day. And Brian, like, my God, a different actor, I probably wouldn't have felt the same.
Yeah. That's kind of the brilliance of that show.
Right?
You know, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more later. But, you know, I did notice, like, Skylar got a lot of hate. And so I wanted to ask you, do you think the women on television shows get a lot harsher criticism? Are women judged more harshly, in your opinion?
Well, not just on TV. I mean, that's just everywhere, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, it's the expectations that other people put on us that we, you know, and that sometimes we put on each other and sometimes we put on ourselves. And I'm guilty of all of that too. Yeah. And so it's an effort to change that and how we look at it.
Yeah. You know, Marie, like speaking of like how we all were rooting for Walt, Marie is written as the heavy a lot of times, and her character can be seen as annoying because she's, you know, trying to bring down the hero. Did you ever get hate online for that? Like from.
Sure. But I, you know, like to me that doesn't, you have to come to a place with that and no one teaches you this in drama school and you think it's nothing you're ever going to have to deal with. Again, like I just wanted you to do plays in Seattle, do jobs, like work. So you just, they're going to be people like they say, like they're, everybody has someone say something about them. I mean, if Santa Claus was a character, there would be people that'd be like, you look fat in your suit. Like, or, you know, like something that's like, get out and run, Santa. Or like, why does it take you so long to deliver the presents? It'd be something.
Yeah, what is he doing all 364?
Yeah, what do you do the other days? Yeah. Like, there'd be something. Like, there's like, and that just, I'm not a therapist, but I like whatever, how that feels good to someone or they think it's going to feel good to say that to someone and then hide behind anonymity, that eludes me. But I'm just glad I'm not them. Yeah. I'm just glad I'm not them.
So do you read comments online?
Not really.
Okay,
I hardly look at anything.
Yeah.
You say that like, oh, that's good.
That's good. No, because in general.
Because you would crawl
you
into
can get
a hole
100.
And never come out. We would have a different mystery guest because you would not be able to leave your home. I just like, there's just some things I just don't, look at myself online. I just don't.
Yeah. All right. Should we go Better Call Saul for a second here? You went back. I have a question. Was it always planned that you just come back that one time or did they want you to come back sooner?
They had talked about me coming back sooner.
Okay.
And then, you know, we've been talking about it for a little while, but I don't think they knew what they were going to write in that last episode until that season.
Yeah. What was it like going back?
It was great. And you guys, I said nothing. And that is not easy for
me. How long did you keep that secret for?
I don't know. And I'm really horrible about time. Like I have no sense of time and the pandemic only made it worse. So I'm really useless with time, but I didn't even tell my mother. Like I didn't want to ruin that for anybody, for my friends that were writing it, for the fans that are a huge part of the team. Like there's no show without like I told you, like the Breaking Bad fans, because nobody knew where to find us. Nobody knew what we were season one, but our fans were so, we had the best fans. That's how we got to season two.
Yeah.
And then more people started to watch. And then we made it to season three. And then, you know, so I didn't want to ruin it for anybody, but it was really hard. I was really happy to go back. It was hugely emotional. Like I cried. And then we had so much of the same crew. They cried when they saw me. And we like, I went, my God, my fitting probably took 3 hours. And then we all had lunch together because I just like, I spent so much time with that whole crew and it was.
I mean, they were like family too for so many years.
Absolutely.
Right?
Still are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say Marie gets a spinoff. What would the title of that show be?
Oh God, no, I don't know. I mean, there could be a play like Everyone Loves the Rocks and the Minerals, Purple Haze. I don't know. Like there could be
Stolen.
I don't wear purple in my life or on other shows anymore. Because that just
I like
felt
Purple
like a
Haze.
Different person.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, because like, is it a comedy? I don't know.
Or it could be like Stealing Marie.
Oh no. Yeah, like I'm steal just... your. I always get like good social media stuff. Like,
yeah,
I stole your
steal
heart.
Yeah. Magnolias spelled S-T-E-A-L.
That's good. That's fair. You thought about this.
I mean, just a little bit. Yes. Okay. Life in Pieces.
Yes.
You played Heather Hughes.
Oh, I love that. You guys love it. I love that show.
Yeah. What was your rose and thorn of that project? And you don't really have to say a thorn, but I feel like you learned.
Oh, I have a thorn. We didn't do another season.
I know.
That's my big thorn. The rose was everybody. I love that cast. And Tommy, I was just doing a project with Tommy Sadowski, who's not only one of the best actors in the world, but a very dear friend of mine. Diane Wiest. Like, and I told you this morning, like, I'm like, if she was here, she would go, hi. She and Jim used to, kind of flirt, but fight with each other. And she would get mad, and he would say things to get her mad. And then she'd go, no. Oh. She is so lovely and was such a hero to me. I remember I got chicken pox in college. And I was like, oh my God, and it's such a big weekend. There's this party I want to go to with my new boyfriend, and now I can't because I have chicken pox. Oh, and I was supposed to be in this play. Now I can't be in the play because I have chicken pox. And my parents had to get me a hotel suite on campus because I was living in the dorms. And so I was just watching movies.
Yeah.
And I watched Hannah and Her Sisters. And whatever we are feelings about Woody Allen, she is undeniably amazing in that. Mm-hmm. And everyone is. But she just, I remember watching that, my like 20-year-old, you know, or 19-year-old self. And I was like, that. Like, I want to. And then to get to sit next to her when we would do table reads every week was like
a dream.
Yeah, my kids used to bird sit for Diane. Like, she's amazing. She's like, and when you meet someone that you've looked up to for so long, it's so easy to be disappointed. But I almost never have been. I can't think of a time when I've met someone and I'm, well, there's one person. There's one person. It was a guy. And I was like, oh, I thought you would be better than that. But that's who you are. But Diane was like everything I wanted her to be, and then more.
Diane's your rose. I love
she
that.
Is like a bouquet of roses. She's amazing and lovely and hilarious, and you know, loves to rap. Like, she's amazing, amazing.
So your current project is Accused.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's an anthology, so which I love watching. Like. Because it's like, it's kind of like, you know, like when you go to a festival and like you get a grab bag and it's like, or you can get a grab bag and it's like, it could be something really great in it or it could be just garbage in there. And when I was a kid, I was like just shy of like, I think there's going to be a TV in my grab bag. Like, so optimistic about the grab bag. And I would choose to see it for the best it was. But this is like the best grab bag. You're like, I don't know what this episode is going to be or be about, but I know it's going to be good. It's Howard Gordon and Alex Gonza who did, and David Shore who did, Howard and Alex did Homeland, which was an amazing show. And Howard is just like, he's also one of those people. Like, he's so talented and so great at everything. Like, you're like, what's the trick? Like, what is it? But it was so fun to do. And I got to work with Bebe Wood, who I worked with on Love, Victor, which is a show I'm still heartbroken about. That's not, isn't that just like, and I have to tell you, and please know this is not a story about like, you guys, I get recognized, but, like, sometimes when I'm out and, you know, people come up to me and tell me they like my work, I almost always assume it's going to be Breaking Bad. And then a lot of people have seen Life of Pieces and loved it. Man, I got to tell you, the love I get from Love, Victor fans, and they're always the best people. Like, I'm like, let's just hang out. Like, and it was one of those shows that I could watch with my kids, and they, you know, loved watching it with me aside from the episode called Sex Cabin, because nobody wants to watch Sex Cabin with their mother.
Did they leave the room? Did you guys just not watch that?
Oh, no, we watched it all.
How did that go down? Is what I was
you know, I think once they, they didn't fight it anymore, that I'm like, we're watching, like, we're both fans, like, we're all fans of the show. Yeah. So we're gonna, I'm not gonna miss it. We're gonna watch it. We're not gonna be that family that's like, you, like, you know,
you go
I'm
there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty open with
I
my
once
kids.
Watched a movie that had a love scene with Zac Efron, and my dad and my grandmother and I were watching together, and it was the most awkward room.
My kids would not want to watch it with their grandmother or grand, like, none of them. They would be like, that's, no, yeah. They would, no.
I see Zac Efron and I'm triggered. I'm like, absolutely no. Not. So, like, reliving it right now. So casting wise, as you're progressing in your career.
Oh my God, it's Zac Efron! I was like, so now,
no, he did this. He did this travel show where he goes to Iceland, and my dad was at my parents'
really
house, and I put it on.
You.
I was like, "Oh, I love Iceland." My dad comes in, and he's like, "Okay, you can. I'll watch later." I was like, "Okay, same memory."
Your dad's like, "Look at Iceland," and you're like, "My eyes, my eyes."
Okay, we're gonna start the Q&A soon, but you know, casting wise, as you progressed in your career, how are you finding the roles for women? Like, are they getting better? Are they? Do they need to get better?
I mean, listen, even if they were amazing all the time, I'd say get better.
Get better.
But get better for everybody. But definitely get better for women. I mean, listen, there was a time where I've been like, I just want to understand. So my character has just been home all day, doing nothing, reading the paper, reading a magazine, waiting for my husband to come home from work. It's three scenes later, and that's still what I'm doing. Oh, I have had a glass of wine. I just want to understand what, like, because we're saying something.
Yeah. So like, what is this poor woman doing all day?
Yeah, like, yeah. So let's think about what we're saying. You know?
Okay, I love that. So more stories about what she's doing.
Or just about, like, you know, I think it goes back to that expectations. Like, I would always, you know, like, I never got it because I guess America doesn't want to look at it. But I, like, my house on Life in Pieces, I was like, mess it up.
Yeah.
Why is it, like, Heather's house would not be pristine.
Yeah.
Like this. Heather's a slacker. Like, let it, and she's okay with that. Like, there's something she takes really seriously, and then there's something she's just like, I don't know. And so I always felt like that, I didn't want to be part of, like, you know, adding to what's expected of people that, like, I do this, like, and you're like,
I feel like you make these very, like, on paper, it could look like a very average role, and you just bring such character to everything.
Oh, that
so.
Is the nicest thing, like, the kindest thing you could say to me. And that means so much to me. I always want them to be living, breathing people that we hopefully care about, even the serial killer. And I want to, like, I like to go on journeys with yeah. people. Like, what do they do? Like, I want to watch the next episode.
So you kind of touched upon this just a little earlier, but what is the best fan interaction you've had? It could be recently, it could be ever, like, the funniest. Wait,
which one did I say?
The Victoria.
Oh, Love Victor. Yeah. Oh, so, I thought you meant when we were talking. I'm like,
no. Just, so, like, is there one that you can remember that's, like, either strange, funny, quirky, embarrassing?
I remember being in New York, and I feel like I live in LA. I've lived in New York, but I live in LA, and I feel like New York is like, we're so much cooler than you, LA. And I'm like, fine, you are. You absolutely are. You win. But I've also had people always tell me, they're like, in New York, people don't really care if you're famous. They don't really care. Like, they just, we're New York, we're cool, we don't care. That was not my experience when I was there, because it was the last season of Breaking Bad, which was intense. And in New York, you're just walking around. In LA, we have to drive to get everywhere. So you're in the safety of your car, not in New York. And my kids, you know, like, if I was around, I would walk them to school or walk them. And I remember being on the street with walking my kids somewhere, and this woman was on the phone, and she was talking. It was a big conversation. And then she was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Marie is walking by me, right? Yep. Yep. Nope. No purple. I know. I have to go. Oh my God. Oh my God. And it's funny. My daughter and this woman was so sweet.
Yeah.
And she was such a, like, I feel like she was such a big personality. She made like Marie look subtle and like mousy. She was lovely and wonderful. And my daughter said, why do people act like they know you? Yeah. And they don't really know you.
Because that's the brilliance of what you do.
Well, it but really it's is. Also, and I said this to my kids because sometimes they are not in the mood for it, especially during sex cabin. They're like, oh, how are you on the show? They're not in the mood sometimes, but they, I said, this is the thing. I said, sorry, I'm going to get emotional because I genuinely love what I do and have to thank everyone for inviting me into their home. It's different. Movie stars, I get a real kick out of them. I really do. Like there are times we've been at things when Breaking Bad kind of, you know, like gave me a taste of that because they wanted to hang out with us. And I'm like, oh, I don't run with those horses. But when you do TV, and we watch shows all differently now, but there was a time in my career I was in people's living rooms and I would be going through this really horrible stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and they went through it with me. I fully believe that. This is going to sound so cheesy, but I'm just being honest. When Hank died, I get that it's pretend. He's fine. I can call. He's fine.
She's not fine.
When Hank died, that was so hard for me because I lived it. And Marie, I knew, I'm like, what the fuck is she going to do now without him? And I was so proud that loss was so much for her. But I knew I had the fans going through that with me. Yeah. And so that feeds into it. It really does. And so, I told my kids, I said, it's a privilege. I'm in people's homes once a week. Right now, twice a week, because I'm on two shows. And
you should be like, I have another family. Many of them.
My other family loves to hear from people who recognize
they
me.
They love watching Sex Cabin. Is that what it's called?
They got Sex Cabin t-shirts, and they love it. They're happy to wear them.
I think that fan, though, came up with the title for the spinoff, No Purple.
No Purple.
No Purple. All right, should we do a little Q&A? Don't be shy. Yes.
Don't be shy. I'm not. I wouldn't tell you even if you asked me to, or even for a burrito. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do it. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do it, because like you see her in this moment, Mia, and then you see her, I don't want to spoil anything for you, but like you see her years later after this tragedy. I read the book and was like, yes. You know, I knew she wasn't the lead, and I was cool with that because we shot in the Dominican Republic, and I only want to be gone for so long, even though the DR is gorgeous. But I really wanted to tell that story because it's every parent's worst nightmare. And it just, oh, God, there's a really... I want you to see the finale. I'm dying to talk to you about it. I'm really happy with it. I just watched it Wednesday. Oh my God, it's good, but you see, like it's well done. It's well done, and that book was just amazing.
That was a very good answer. She's like, "Tell me this, but don't give me any spoilers." So that was excellent. Did I see one? Yeah.
Were you happy with the way Breaking Bad ended? If you had the power, would you have changed anything?
I like that you think I don't have the power. So good at what I do. There is not a world I could ever imagine going into that room with those writers and being like, really, guys? Like, what do you think? Like, I have some ideas. I read that last episode and then I texted Vince. I read it. I cried. And then I texted Vince and I said, that is the perfect ending for this show. Now, I did go in multiple times and ask the writers, 6 Feet Under fans. Are yes. we 6 Feet Under yes. fans? That finale.
That was the best. That
fuck. And I said, please just write it. We don't have to shoot it, but I want to know what all of you and your amazing, like, what happens?
Every show should have that just as an extra ending so we know what happened.
I think if we don't get that out of this strike, I don't know what we're doing it for. I agree.
Betsy's going to start a YouTube channel where she's just editing together her endings for every show.
But I kind of gave that to like what I imagined for Marie. And I loved what they did with her. That, you know, like the last time we see her in Breaking Bad, she's wearing white. But I will tell you this, and I'm not proud of it. I wanted them all to win. And I knew that wasn't going to happen. And it would not have been good television. Like, what they did was great. I would have done a super sappy ending where, like, you know, they learn from their mistakes and they're better. Nobody wants to watch that. I would never be on that show. Like, but I just was so attached to those characters, you know? And then how great that we got to, you know, I got to have that yeah. with Saul when, so I thought I read that and thought it was just the perfect ending.
Shout out to all the writers right now, Breaking Bad. I mean, Better Call Saul, everything. Because if we have to watch Betsy's compilations on YouTube.
Breaking Bad, the musical. It's a feel-good comedy.
I would actually like to see that. So, any other questions? Yes.
What's your favorite memory from Life in DC?
Oh. Oh, my God. Oh, that's tough. And I don't want to take too long pondering it. I have to say, you know, when we went to, must have been the upfronts. When we got picked up, season one. So we're all in a car together. And I totally big sistered that shit. I was like, all right, Colin, you're going to open us up with it. Like, because I'm like, we want this to go well. And then you go, Stephen Colbert calls it the petting zoo when you go and then people come up and take photos with you. And I was like, we love this show. We all want it to run forever. And so we need to do whatever we need to do so that CBS and Fox want to run us for 6 seasons. It didn't work out that way, but we did get 4. But being in the car together, I was like, oh my God, this is so like the show. It's so like the show. Like we all did everything our characters did. And I'm like, sometimes it just comes together and you're like, this is why it works. Like, yes, we have great lines. We have funny jokes. We have all of that. But it really was that group of people playing those characters, which there's, you know, there's some of us in all of them. And it was just a delightful family. Yes.
Okay, so I have a 16-year-old daughter who wants to become an actress someday. Any advice?
I feel like the joke is like, don't do it. but I guess that is true. I would say what's her name?
Linnea.
Only do it if you have to, because there are going to be days and everybody, I don't care who, Julia Robb, anybody, everybody has where you're like, oh my God, I really wanted that job and I didn't get it. And that hurts me. There's a lot of rejection. Most of it is rejection. I just did a project with Mimi Rogers, who's amazing. And she said she had this conversation with her daughter. She goes, most of my job is rejection. You think it's like, ooh, riding in a limo to the premiere, because that's what you know. That's the stuff I've invited you in on. But only do it if you have to, because otherwise, why would you want to put up with the garbage part of it? And then there aren't any rules. Like, it took me a minute to learn that. But I didn't go to, you know, some crazy fancy school. And then I moved to Seattle and did plays. And, you know, ended up on Breaking Bad. So if you, it's very, if you build it, they will come. I think if you, and I still feel that way about shows now. Now, yeah. With the writer's strike, I'm like, if there's a good show, people are going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. We're all going to watch it. Like, and I think it's the same thing. If you're good at what you do, and you got to love it. I don't know any actor who is successful and doesn't love it.
I was just going to say, if you could go back to that first day on Breaking Bad.
Good luck to her.
What advice would you give your younger self on that first day?
I don't...
No rules?
Do you mean like my first day on Breaking Bad?
Yeah, like on set. Like you go back and you're like, I can give...
You know, I think earlier on, like I love that Dean was there for me in that mm-hmm. way. But I like, I wish I could have trusted myself a little bit more early in the beginning. But then once I found it, I did. And a big part of that was Vince.
Okay.
You know, I was like, Vince, I also learned this. Anything you want to get out of a showrunner... Ask them during the pilot. They are so tired. They are so tired. So tell Linnea this little tidbit. And I was like, what do you think Marie does for a living? And he's like, I don't know. What do you think? I'm like, well, I think she's maybe an insurance adjuster or an X-ray technician. And he's like, okay. I wanted her to do something because of Walt's situation. I wanted her to be in the medical field, but not a doctor or a nurse. And so that's what they gave me. And my God, was that the gift that kept on giving? I also was like, I think she loves purple. If purple is her color, she's 200%. She is like in. And they were like, I think they were like, okay, buckle up. I mean, it was so much purple. My house, we shot at a house in Albuquerque, this gorgeous house in Albuquerque. Oh, Fred and June, the people who lived there, poor Fred and June, had to live with my purple shit all season long. We painted walls. It was just a purple explosion. But I loved that about her. I loved that it was like so quirky and weird, and like I loved that about her.
Okay, sadly we're out of time for our mystery guest, but look out for her on No Purple or her.
Can I just thank you guys? This has been so delightful, and you totally could have been like, oh, God.
No, never.
And you were, and you've been so lovely, and like I'm so happy to be here and talk TV and what
Let's
we do.
Give her a round of applause.
Just thank you so much. Cup runneth over.
I can't look at you without thinking of Zac Efron and Sex Cabin now, so let's go.
Oh, wait, we're done. Listen, thank you. Can we applaud you? Thank you for doing this and for sticking to it when you found out it was me. Have fun.
You have been listening to the TV Campfire podcast, hosted by ATX TV co-founders Emily Gibson and Caitlin McFarland, and produced by Jennifer Morgan. This conversation was recorded live at ATX TV Festival Season 12 in Austin, Texas, between June 1st and 4th, 2023. For more information on the festival and becoming an ATX TV member, follow us at ATX Festival or visit atxfestival.com.